Welcome. We are
Voice You.
Find your voice, celebrate, and explore what it means to be heard. We're your hosts, Kate Faust
and Jesse Nelson.
We're here to hold conversations with folks from all backgrounds about their journey with authenticity and vulnerability on the quest for empowerment.
Oh, and they're going to be serenading us too. Tune in for laughter, beautiful truth, and heartfelt listening each week.
Oh, wow. That was juicy. That was good. Yeah. So Jesse and I are both singers. So using our voice is something we kind of do every day, whether it is in our songs or when we're listening to other people's voices and just showing up in everyday conversation.
Exactly. And I think, and not just singers, but also songwriters. So telling stories, sharing stories, and being really open to other people's stories and how that connective magic is, you know, really what life is all about. We really thrive in that place. And we just, yeah, we wanted to share that with you guys. So thank you so much for tuning in and becoming a part of this.
Yes. So this is our inception episode.
Happy 11-11-11.
11-11-11. It's a very fucking auspicious
day. Come through.
Day.
Come through.
We're on the spiritual drip right now.
Spiritual drip.
Okay.
Spiritual drip. Manifest what you know.
Came through dripping.
Came through dripping. Came through dripping.
We were shouting out like Archangel Metatron and like the divine feminine with the spiritual drip today.
How would you guys feel about spiritual trap? We really want to, you know what I mean? Just like,
I feel like you said it and I felt moist immediately.
Ooh, yeah.
I, you know, inside and out, just mostly inside, but also out. Moist.
Ooh,
moist.
So much moist, you know, just like imagine popping your booty and like, instead of talking about popping bottles, it's just like Archangel Michael, Archangel Michael. I said Archangel Michael.
Metatron with that drip, drip.
Archangel Michael.
Archangel Metatron with that drip, drip. Shamaya Kashyyyk Vickers with that drip, drip.
Cut the cords, 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 cut the cords,
cut the
cords, cut the cords,
cut the cords,
cut the cords, cut the cords, cut the cords, cut the cords, cut the cords,
Jesus. Kuan Yin in the house. What?
Goddess of mercy.
What?
Goddess of mercy.
Show me mercy.
Goddess of mercy. You guys would listen to that, right?
Yeah, I think like that's really where the spiritual culture needs to go.
I'm just saying.
Like that's how we get the young kids.
How can we connect with the kids? How can we reach
We want them to understand that they're part of the cosmos.
They are.
We want them to use their voice.
You know.
I love it.
Yeah.
And so I want to kind of, we'll start our segment a little bit with talking about some voices that we love, and then we're going to kind of interview each other. The way that this podcast is going to go is we're going to have guests that kind of join us every week, and we're going to talk to them. And as Jesse said, you don't have to be a singer to use your voice. There's so many ways that we use our voice, and I feel like right now, especially people on the internet, they use their words all the time, they use their voice all the time, and they don't really think about what they're doing. They don't understand that there's power behind their words, behind their energy and their intentions. And so I think in this podcast, we want to explore what it means to really show up and communicate clearly. I realize how much there is a deep lack of understanding when it comes to communication. And that as musicians, we're actually at a really beautiful space when it comes to communication. I don't know if you want to speak on that for you.
Oh, I mean, completely. It's interesting. I was actually talking to a close friend and a really talented singer-songwriter, Ariel Beasley, who I also hope to have on the show pretty soon. She's really excited, by the way. I've told her about this, and she's just like, yeah, she's like, can't wait. She can't wait.
Can't wait.
But we were talking about all these studies coming out about creative people, and one of the things being the subconscious mind and like sleep and dreams and the way that artists are, where that's such a part of where we live from. That's such a part of a space that we live from. Yeah. And just that communication that happens, that openness that happens, being in tune with, you know, so much more than beyond what we just maybe see, hear and feel and sense in the everyday, in the day to day. Yeah. And creating from that space. So like, being in touch with that space, being in tune with that space, trying to create and express from that space, I think, I mean, communication is, yeah, like, I don't even know what to say. It's just,
it's so essential, and it's just amazing to me how many people feel really defeated by it. I can relate to that. I feel like there is this subconscious dimension that you're speaking about, because I feel like so many years, like, I would go to parties or I'd meet people after shows and feel like I couldn't seem to express who I really am to people.
Yeah.
Using my words. Like, I always felt in social interactions kind of like, like, I just could never seem to get myself, my genuine self, across. And I would know, and even in relationships, like, I would notice people would treat me in certain ways, and I was like, wow, I must not be clear. I don't think I'm being clear with who I am. I think I'm having a hard time sharing who I am. And now that I feel really clear with who I am, the voice, whether it's my music, my writing, or just being in conversation with people, I don't even have to speak for people to know who I am. You know?
Amen.
I just show up in a room and I'm speaking. And I think that's what we want to be able to explore through these conversations that we have with different people, is what was their journey to that place where they could, through their writing, their acting, their comedy, their
photography,
their production, their work. Who's your friend who's a scientist we're gonna have on?
Oh yeah, my friend Namias, who's an engineer for Boeing.
Okay, so there's a way that we're always communicating, and we're always communicating with the universe before we even speak. We're putting out a vibration. And what is the voice? It's a sound vibration. It's a vibration that we offer up into the universe, into the cosmos. And so, like, what's your vibration? How are you using that? Are you speaking for yourself or against yourself? And what did that journey look like? Because we've all had those moments where we've spoken against ourselves, right?
I was just having a little meditation moments ago where I was asking for forgiveness about times I've spoken against myself and I've spoken against others.
And we do it when we don't realize how powerful we are.
Yeah,
so taking control and owning up to your voice is a way to care for yourself and care for your environment. And that's what we're into here at Voice to You Podcast.
That's spiritual sustainability. Hey, what you know.
Ooh.
Feeling it.
Ooh, speak on it, daddy. Listen, Jesse just, he speaks on some things sometimes, and my soul is just so juicy for it. I'm just like, give me that. Speak it to me, daddy.
I just needed to come
through.
He's
my spirit daddy. Did you know that you were my spirit daddy?
I'm finding out in this moment, and I'm speechless.
You know you're somebody's daddy. It's me. It's me.
You know, people have those shirts that say, I'm with him with the arrow. Like, you need to get one that's like, he's my spirit daddy.
He's my spirit daddy.
And then I'll have a shirt that says, that's right.
That's right. And all I got was his shirt. Rude. Very rude. So we're going to take this time now as we, again, birth this. On this very auspicious day, this is Voice U's birthday, 11/11/11. So even though we won't be broadcasting this for a little while, I just want you to know, and also in case you've been seeing some 11/11s in your day and you need some more 11/11 synchronicity, I'm here for it. I'm giving you the 11/11 drip.
Take it. Enjoy it.
Run with it.
Manifest it. Create those new chapters.
Put that vibration out into the universe, please. Please. So we're going to do a little, we're going to interview each other today.
Yes.
Jesse, can I ask you some questions, please?
You can most certainly ask me.
Ask you some questions, please. We're going to do an episode about bad singing also. So, like, if you need fodder for, like, reasons you should tune in, just to hear us do bad singing. That's enough of a reason, in my opinion.
Oh, wow. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
That's all you get for free.
Thank you. Wow. And now to our sponsor, Drip Daddy Spirit Industries.
LLC, trademark, all rights reserved.
4/20/16. It's time for the interview.
Interview.
It's time for the interview. I want to get to know you.
For the interview. Know you.
Get to know you. Danny!
Oh!
Oh!
Yeah!
Interview.
We're good singers, I swear.
It sounds great, actually. Jesse.
Kate.
I have some questions for you about your voice.
Totally.
So, how has your journey with your personal identity influenced your voice?
I mean, that's an amazing question. Something you were saying earlier was just lighting me up, talking about walking into a room or just even feeling the way that people talk to you, being like, you know, the way that you're received. It's like, do you see my authentic self? Do you receive my authentic self? I just think that's been such a deep journey, and that's even why I chose the moniker. You know, I make and release music under the moniker Drifter Shapeshifter. And yeah, that's, I meditated on it for a while, but that wasn't me trying to be like cute or funny or cool. Like, that just literally felt so real. That just I felt born into a life, a situation, a reality. With where my identity was, it just always kind of felt sort of funny, sort of on the fringe. Being first gen, being mixed race, growing up in different cultures around the United States, being, you know, queer in this conservative Christian military family. And like, I just felt like there was, my identity was always kind of like this game. Like, I just felt like I was like, well, it's, who am I supposed to be? Who do people, you know,
wow.
It was like this
yeah.
thing I was always navigating of like, who am I supposed to be? How do I, you know, I
of
just,
course.
So yeah, answering that question is, that's a great question. I feel like it's been monumental. I don't think Drifter Shapeshifter could exist if it hadn't been for constantly riding these waves and sort of feeling what it is, you know, to not in the maybe the most intense way ever, but definitely in this mix of ways of feeling kind of on the fringe and of society.
Interesting.
If that makes sense.
It totally makes sense. And then, like, I like the that you use the image of a game. Like, I think of moving different pieces on a chessboard. So in different environments, different pieces of you come through, or different pieces of you would feel like you'd have to fall back.
Totally.
And so do you feel like Drifter Shapeshifter is a way to bring all those pieces together into this one kind of setting where you can marry those identities and let them kind of be fluid?
Completely.
And really actually play in the sense of fun, not in the sense of survival.
Completely.
Because there's a big difference. I think people use the analogy of life as a game. But what's a game if you're not fucking having fun?
Totally.
And if you don't get to win sometimes.
Totally.
So that's really beautiful.
Thank you.
And I love the name Drifter. There's so many connotations. What does the word Drifter mean to you specifically?
To me specifically, it really spoke to, I mean, you know, we're both... fun fact, we're both Sagittarians.
Yeah, we are.
So, you know, the adventurers, the travelers of the zodiac, maybe not just in physical space, but in spiritual aspects,
emotional aspects, and
creative aspects. So Drifter, really, that's what that comes from, is being, yeah, this Sagittarius born into a Navy family, growing up all over the United States. Mm-hmm. We'd lived on all three American coasts by the time I was 10. So
damn, boo.
Yeah, and then I started college in New York, finished college in Washington State, moved to LA. So it's the drifting kind of just speaks to this, I guess you could say a wanderer or a seeker. I think more so a seeker than a wanderer, but a little bit of both, maybe. A little bit of both.
And I mean, if you think of elements in nature, and when I think of you specifically, like, I think you're so connected to the earth in so many ways to me. Like, I think of elements in the earth that are moved by the forces within it, moved by the wind, the water, and things like that. And so they're not forcing their way. They're allowing the elements, and they're allowing themselves to be moved and transformed by what is happening.
I love that.
And that's beautiful too. And then that brings us to shapeshifter, which has a lot of magical connotations.
Yeah.
Some people in you would maybe say in a negative way, some people in a positive way. Some people would think of it as a superpower. Mm. And to me, like now hearing you talk about the game, right? Are you the queen? Are you the pawn? Are you, you know, on the chessboard? What are you when you're moving those parts? Like, does that have to do with your identity, the idea of shapeshifter, of which part of you you can show? Or is that...
I think, yeah, and I think the way that you put it before about drifter, shapeshifter, bringing all the pieces together, it's mm-hmm. totally what that is. Because there was definitely this way of where maybe I didn't necessarily learn these ways of being for fun. They were survival, learning to mm-hmm. talk a certain way, be perceived a certain way,
mm-hmm.
have a certain kind of sense of humor, express myself a certain way, could carry certain ideas. Like, they were survival mechanisms.
Absolutely.
You know? And so I think the shapeshifter portion of it is being able to come full circle and celebrate the complexity of my identity, and that I don't necessarily have to be this one way or this one way, but these are all aspects of how I grew up. And
yeah.
who I am, and I can celebrate all of those, and they don't have to necessarily be mutually exclusive. You know, I
absolutely.
Can, I'm allowed to be this complex energy and this complex force because that's how I was created.
Oh, can
anyway.
You say that again? Please say it again.
I'm allowed to be this complex energy and this complex force. That's how I was created anyway. Why wouldn't I be?
So I am allowed to be this complex. This complex energy. That is, can we just... Oh, I'm allowed. I'm giving myself permission to be as complex as I am. That is so important. And I really, 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 really relate to you with that. Because I always felt like, and you get told to as when you're in the music industry or any yes. way that you're trying to share yourself, which now kind of everybody has a platform in certain ways that they yes. sell themselves, quote unquote, or however you want to think about it. I feel like I always heard those words that you're too complex.
Mm.
You know, what you have to offer is too much.
Mm-hmm.
And your voice, essentially, everything that is tailored within it is too this, too that. It doesn't fit in this grid or this idea of what we have.
Mm.
And I just want all of our listeners to take that in right now.
Mm.
You are allowed to be as complex as you are. As magnificent as you are, okay, with all of your varying identities, all of your experiences, all yes. of your pain points, all of your joy,
yes.
you are allowed that. Give yourself that permission, like right the fuck now.
Right now.
And just please, the world is benefited. Every relationship you have will be benefited.
Yes.
Every endeavor you take on will be more prosperous. Everything you do will be more possible because... you are allowing yourself to fully exist in your full embodiment in the world and really, really letting that vibration of your true energy signature come forward. And that's what we need. Thank you for that, Jesse.
Thank you. Oof. Kate. Thank you.
Mm. Shit. That was only the first question.
Damn. Oh. We just getting started.
We are. We like truly are. I have another question for you.
Sure.
And this sort of goes into a little bit more what we talked about, and it is, how has singing and making music impacted the way that you listen?
Oh, wow.
Whether that's to music or whether to people who are speaking to you, whatever that means for you, whatever like listening means for you.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it definitely changed the way that I connected to music, because I always loved music, always as a kid, but it was that sort of thing where it was a dream. Mm-hmm. You know, I was that kid, you
absolutely.
Know, growing up in the 90s and early 2000s, I was that kid that like just put on pop CDs and then was like doing the choreographed dances and like singing in my room, you know?
Mm-hmm. Same.
You know, just like training myself to be an early 2000s pop star. Oh, whoa, yeah, yeah.
Oh my God,
so,
yes.
So, you know, but it was like, it was a fantasy.
Yeah.
It was a fantasy. And then, and I can remember this kind of evolution. I can remember writing in my journal at one point. I can remember being like, I just wish I knew how to write songs. I just wish. I can remember being like,
yeah.
I just wish if only I could write a song.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember how old I was. Maybe a teenager.
So your heart was calling for that kind of expression.
It was. Mm. I can remember like writing down that dream. Like, please, God, like, just let me give me the ability to write a song.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, and then cut towards, you know, when I was first starting to really do that, I remember listening to different artists, and I would mouth along, mm-hmm. you know, like I didn't necessarily believe, I can remember, even if I was listening by myself, I would like mouth the words, but I was like, oh no, I can't sing. Like,
oh wow.
I can remember doing
so
this.
So you had an aversion to it at first.
I did, or resistance. I loved to sing, but I think I was also, yeah, I just got used to, I don't know, I was kind of insecure about it, and okay. I didn't. And I think, and again, something I've worked on is I got used to like to shrinking myself to not take up space. Like that's, I was constantly.
And the voice
told,
definitely, you can't hide from that. That takes up space.
It takes up space. So, and like, yeah, I mean, that claiming my voice and claiming singing and songwriting as mm-hmm. path was mm-hmm. just like, you know, obviously made transmuting and like alchemizing all of that bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, listening to music now, I mean, it's, I think I listen to it with so much more connection because mm-hmm. I don't see it as this thing necessarily outside of myself. I don't listen Absolutely. To it from this context of like, oh, this is so cool, but I can't do that. Oh, this mm-hmm. is so cool. I wish I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's now I listen to it and it's like, it's a peer energy. It's
yeah.
a peer, you know, energy yeah. where I'm like, yes, this is gorgeous and this is amazing. And I connect with this as one who is aligned with this form of divine creation.
Absolutely. And you know, I think there's a lot of things that people want to do or express or feel, and they say, oh, that's great, but I can't do
yeah.
that, or I can't have that.
Yeah.
And that comes from a lot of like programming.
Totally.
Sure. From our experiences, whether it's with our identity or circumstances, a lot of times programs that our parents
yes.
have installed in us, not out of like any malice on their part most of the time. It's just they can only give us what they have.
Right.
And if they have lack mentality, you know,
not
if they don't
yeah.
know how to own their voice, if they don't believe that certain things are possible, it's harder for them to create an imprint on us as children of
yes.
what's possible. And so I have a similar situation of, in at least music was like if you're in an empty room and there's a locked door, but you see like some light coming through the keyhole and you're like, oh, there's something on the other side of this emptiness. There's some way that I can get to that place where the light is, right? That, for me, that was, I was always singing songs and making up songs, and that was my little light. And it sounds like it was for you too. You had this prayer in your heart of like, there's a way that I can bring all of this wholeness within me, like through, where I don't have to piece things together. I don't have to be afraid. There's a way for me to do this. And that's beautiful. I'm so glad.
Thank you.
That you're doing that and you're mastering that frequency.
Thank you.
Ooh,
thank
yummy.
You.
That love frequency.
It feels amazing. And it
good.
Yeah, it feels, yeah, profound to be able to do that and to have that now. Thank you.
Beautiful. Third and final question for you, Spirit Daddy.
Me.
Who are your favorite voices and why?
Wow. That, great question.
You didn't see it coming either. You were surprised.
I was so surprised.
You've never been asked this question before.
I never have. I'm like, what do I even say? Ooh. Is there a time limit? Can I just go on infinitum?
Please.
Yeah. In perpetuity. Yeah. I mean, that's a really great question. And as musicians, I think we both know, that we could go on forever about like the people who really shaped us and
yes.
and taught us how to love our voices and love expressing and yeah, and I'm sure even with you, Amir.
All right, we have our friend here, Amir.
Yeah, our friend Amir.
Yeah, what's up, dude?
Hey. Yeah.
Love you, buddy.
Friendly neighborhood Amir. Friendly neighborhood Amir. You know?
Our friendly neighborhood Amir
just popped in.
He's yeah. popped in to have some tea with us. So he's raising our vibration right now.
Right
I feel
now,
it.
Spiritual deposits.
So tip. Here's a tip. A way to raise your vibration is to laugh as much as possible.
Love that.
And to listen to voices that inspire you. So tell us more about these voices that inspire
yes.
you, baby.
I could go on forever, but some of the people who really helped me find and claim and love my voice include Fiona Apple.
Mm.
I love her so much as an artist and as a songwriter and just such a person who always, from the beginning, expressed from such a vulnerable, deep, real place. I love that.
Yeah,
that.
She's so unafraid to just be as fucked up as she wants to be.
Totally.
As complex, just as we were saying before. She wants to be as romantic, you know, as full of, I feel like she's like the fucking like Emily Bronte or Charlotte Bronte
of our time.
She's like filled with self-righteous indignation. Like, she might not appreciate me saying that, but hopefully she does.
She can do no wrong to me.
I mean that in a really good way. Just like she captures this version.
She doesn't apologize. She does not apologize for any of her emotions.
Really clear. Yeah. That kind of cuts through this. You feel like she can feel people desiring her and trying to possess her. And she's very clearly kind of cuts through that with her words and her playing.
Mm. Yeah, I think. And that's, and so many, like, I love her voice, her singing voice, and her range and her voice, but in her songwriting, she's, when people, when I get compliments on my songwriting, I'm like, oh, it's because I listen to a lot of Fiona Apple. Like, yes. She's so insanely clever.
Yeah.
Because she could even be really funny.
She's very funny. Like, I was literally going to say that. And I always appreciate that.
Yeah.
I love when you can be describing, like, your worst fucking heartbreak, and you can bring this kind of dark humor to it. And it,
totally.
And combined with that timbre of her voice and that low range.
Mm.
It feels like you're getting past, present, and future all at once.
All at once.
It's really special.
And it's always been really unique. I know John Bryan is like a really, what's the word?
His production style feels like you're in another universe, like
totally.
You're in a dream, like
totally.
A parallel reality or something.
Right, he's a legend.
Yeah. And,
was he behind her music?
He's super prolific. That's what I was thinking.
He's very prolific. He's an amazing producer,
classics.
John Bryan.
It's the same John Bryan.
Yeah.
Like the John Bryan.
Yeah.
And so
his stuff with Beck is really dope too.
Yeah.
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 And he's produced, yeah. And so I think he had some hand in definitely the first one. I think he produced the first two. I can't remember if he produced the first two or all of them. He might have, even if he didn't do the, like, all the full albums, I think he had a hand in some part in all the albums. But she was such a huge part of me just loving storytelling.
Yeah.
Loving story. She really taught me a lot. And then in such a unique way too. Like,
mm-hmm.
So her, who else? Someone in a more contemporary fashion, I actually really love Lana Del Rey. I think she's an incredible poet and storyteller. She brings you into her world. It's very cinematic and it's a very full experience. And just doesn't apologize for the intensity, the emotional intensity and the passion. I love that.
For sure.
I'm trying to think of someone else. I don't know. There's so many. Lauryn Hill, of course.
Yes.
Erykah Badu, Radiohead,
mm-hmm.
Bjork, Grace Jones, Kate Bush, Jill Scott.
J-I-L-L-S-C-O-T-T. Sorry,
that
she's from
that
Philly.
One exactly. Yeah. That Jill Scott.
Yeah.
Wow, and it's funny. I'm having this, like, even right now, I'm like, more. It's like my brain almost fritzes because there's so many people.
Well, I'm thinking of one that you quote all the time,
Jeff.
Well,
Jay Daddy Bucks.
Well, we'll talk. We're gonna talk about Jay Daddy Bucks. He's a thing for us. But there's a Nayira Wahid is an author that you quote all the time.
I also love. I love her.
She's
yes.
someone who really has a very serious vibration. Mm. I've never heard the sound of her voice, but I feel like I know her heart so well. Mm. I know what she brings to the world and the space she takes up with her words. And that's definitely got a voice.
Hugely.
For sure.
Following her Instagram, like every poem. And I've seen some of these poems, you know, because I read Salt. I read the paperback book.
Mm-hmm.
So I've read these poems, but it's like,
I give it to all my friends. I keep multiple
copies.
Totally.
And that's how it was.
Away.
Someone gave it to me. Someone was like, you need to read this. And I was like, all right. But yeah, those poems just, they take me there. And they remind me of everything that, like, we're trying to do on this path, on this human, this human journey. So she's another one. And I think in terms of when I was first starting, like, I remember this point. There was this point right before I really started writing and claiming music for myself. So Lauryn Hill, like I said, but it was also Little Dragon.
Yes.
And I was listening to that first album every day. And
twice I turned my back on you. I fell flat on my face, but didn't lose. That's so low. Tell me, where would I go?
Tell me what led you on, I'd love to know.
Yes. You're welcome. Lots of that.
Yeah. That was special.
Thank you.
Samir.
Thank you.
No,
you're here with us. You're with us. You're giving us life.
No, I'm trying my best.
Hell yeah.
I'm feeling it.
You don't even have to try. Just being here.
That is.
Your sweet, gentle energy, just showing us love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Amir. Mm-hmm. And then, and then the last one, and this goes back, I was talking about singing along, or like I would mouth, but I was like, I can't sing, I'm not good enough, like that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So when I was talking about that, I was specifically talking actually about Gnarls Barkley. And,
CeeLo Green. CeeLo,
those two albums, I was listening to them nonstop, and that pinnacle, Danger that very Mouse, specific point of... Yeah, the two albums that they did together. I remember listening to those albums at that very specific point, that tipping point right before I started writing and claiming music for myself. And it just, again, the uniqueness, the cleverness, the depth, the emotional, just the freedom and like the claiming of space that all these artists I've talked about, they claim their space, they claim their voice.
CeeLo's voice claims a lot of space.
So much space.
So big.
His voice is huge.
Really beautiful.
And
he has a femininity in his voice too that's really like, and I know that he's been accused of certain things.
Mm.
I've been around him. Mm. Like, so I don't want to like give him too much space.
Okay.
Or,
I don't know too much about this.
No, I don't either. And so I want to like be sensitive with that. Here's the thing, and we can make this statement right now and just say it. You know, I was also deeply affected by David Bowie before I knew. So we can't go back and undo the influence that these people have had on us.
Right.
We can put them in perspective and be clear about, you know, their actions and certain things and how we feel about it. But yeah, I mean, at that time you didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
And you can't go back and undo the experience of being influenced by this person's work. And their work is still great work.
It's great music.
We just, as we move forward, have to put it in perspective and go forward with that. But I absolutely, it is what he CeeLo Green definitely affected me too.
Yeah.
Seeing him, hearing his voice in different contexts, so.
And the songwriting too, again, like not just the voice, like the physical voice of him singing, but his songwriting, so clever.
And I'm sure we'll have to go deal with this and discuss this as we discuss voices.
Yeah.
Because what people put out a lot of times in their persona can be different. And especially when we talk about male people in the music industry or in the entertainment industry, there's a measure of clarity that we'll parse as we go through.
Mm.
So I'm glad that we are starting to do that on episode one.
Because
we can't go back and unlisten to what we listened to in the formative years.
Right.
But we can keep a clear perspective about it going forward.
Yes.
I really appreciate what you just shared with us, Jesse.
Thanks, Kate.
And I'm really excited to be on this Voice You journey with you.
Yes, thank you.
You've shown me so much already just from being your friend and somebody that is I'm a supporter of your work.
Thank you.
You've already shown me so much about what is possible for a voice to do and say. So
thank you,
Spirit Daddy. So y'all, please check out Drifter Shapeshifter. Again, we'll be walking with you through this podcast as we go, but this is sort of our episode where you get to know us more, and we'll probably do some more episodes periodically where we just talk shit. If you guys like that, if you're into that, follow Jesse, support his work. Him and I are going to be singing our song together by an artist who really affected us as well, but we'll save that. So thank you, Jess.
Thanks, Kate. So Jeff Buckley was first brought to my attention when I was jamming with a friend of a friend in Seattle, and his roommate, I was just playing my strum stick, which I'll, you know, you guys will, you'll hear more of, I'll talk about more. And he was playing drums, and his roommate came in and was like, "Oh, have you ever heard of Jeff Buckley?" And I was like, "Oh, not really." And he's like, "Oh, you remind me of him," which I didn't realize what a gigantic compliment that was at the time.
Mm.
So a couple years later, my first job after college, I was going to like work on this farm, and I took a bunch of my friends and roommates music. Like, I basically just tried to take her entire iTunes library. And when I got there, by the way, to the where the farm was, which is like way out, I realized that I didn't have nearly as much space as I thought I did. So all these albums I thought I had, it had only copied the very first song.
Oh, and it was?
Mojo Pin.
Fuck. So Mojo Pin. So the. Uh-oh. There's.
Ooh. Go there.
So
go there.
The person that I lost. Technically lost my virginity to.
Technically.
What he did give me, what he actually was capable of doing, was he gave me some mix CDs in high school. Oh. One with Elliot Smith and one, like, he kind of said something similar to me. It was just like, you really need to hear Jeff Buckley if you've never heard Jeff Buckley. And I was like, sure, whatever. So he made me like a mix compilation and the first song on it was Mojo Pin. And I remember hearing Jeff Buckley for the first time. I didn't like it the first time. I was like, well, it was so different than anything I'd ever heard. I think a lot of times, especially when you're a kid too, people think they just put a judgment on something that's new and they're like, huh?
Yeah.
You know? There's no one that really has ever sounded like him, really. And I just had never heard anything quite like it. But it definitely piqued my interest. So I listened to it again and then I was like, I think by the third listen, I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. I have just, what the fuck? How, Sway? Like,
how?
It was and still is. There's still moments where I listen to songs of his that I've heard a million times before, and I'm still overcome with this feeling of the sacred.
Totally.
Like this feeling of, oh my God, like he was channeling something beyond this world.
He was.
And we were lucky to have him. He left us much too soon, but he did leave us with some beautiful music, and the vibration and the energy signature of his voice continues to transport people into that space of magic. Like, I know that these words have all these woo-woo connotations to it, but I also want to say, like, magic is real.
Tis.
It's happening right now.
Tis.
So, and that's, you know, what me and Jesse are all about with our work in general is, like, let's bring that magic into the everyday.
Let's do it.
Like, that's how we live our lives, actually.
Yeah.
You can do that, too. Shit.
Please do.
Do it.
Please do.
Do it. All right. So without further ado.
Adieu.
This is J. Daddy Bucks. Mojo Pin.
I'm blind.
So that was our show for today. Woo! Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you loved it. Remember to like, subscribe, leave some stars, leave some comments, show us some love,
show
hit us up
love.
On the social media.
Let us know what's good.
Hit up the links that we got that we're serving you in the episode description with the Spotify playlist and everything like that. And
yeah, just... stay tuned. Stay tuned for more.
Stay tuned for more. Stay nice and moist. Till next time.
Moist.
So moist.
Love you.
Until next time.
Until next time.
It's time for the outro music.
Outro music.
Outro music.
What you know, what you know.
It's time for the outro music. The outro music.
The outro music. Yeah, 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 yeah.